Rehab experts are at Brown Plumbing and Heating, keeping their name out of your drain.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to catch up here with U.S. Navy Commander John Quimby. He has been the commanding officer of the USS Montana Navy submarine since July 2021. He led the USS Montana and her crew in preparing for their commissioning into the U.S. Navy fleet on June 25th of 2022. And coming up, our listeners in Bozeman, normally I wouldn't tell you not to listen to the radio in the 9 o'clock hour, But hey, we've got a Montana Talks podcast, so if you want to go have coffee with the crew at the Museum of the Rockies, feel free, and then you can listen to the 9 o'clock hour on the podcast later in the day. Commander Quimby, I understand you were in Helena yesterday and delivered what's known as the commissioning pennant to Lieutenant Governor Kristen Juris. What's the significance of that?
Yeah, so the commissioning pennant is initially started by the British Navy in the 16th, 17th century, where all the ships at the time were sailing ships, and so you couldn't tell the difference between a warship and just a merchant ship, and so warships started flying this long, thin pennant at the top of their mainmast, and from there it just really became a naval tradition, and so we've continued that tradition, and on June 25th of 2020, like you said, we initially flew that commissioning pennant on the Montana. And we were able to present that Lieutenant Governor Juris on behalf of the Navy to the state of Montana. It was a really, really good, really good time.
And you got out to the half rack, as we call it, the Helena Armed Forces Reserve Center, where a lot of our Montana National Guard folks are headquartered out of. How were the events in Helena yesterday?
Oh, they were outstanding. I mean, you know, I can't really say enough about all of the great people I've met when I've come back to Montana, and all the ones that I met when they made the trip over to Norfolk for our commissioning last year. It's just been really, really good talking to them. A lot of great questions. Everybody's very interested in what the Montana is doing.
Well, and I know our friend Bill Whitsett out of Big Fork, Montana, has done such a great job, he and his board, in helping out and getting all the Montana-related items inside the submarine as well. Now you're up and running. You mentioned shooting torpedoes. What's that like? Did you feel like you were in, like, the old movie Hunt for Red October, or is it just like another day on the job?
It's not like another day on the job. It is very, 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 very interesting when we do things like that. It's not every day that we get to do something like that. And so, testing our systems, we were able to go down there and shoot several of our exercise torpedoes to make sure our weapon systems all work, and they all did. We shot 5 for 5, and so the Montana tested out great. We not just the weapon systems, we had all kinds of systems on board that we test out during that period of time. And from there, you know, we find all the bugs and the issues that we have on board the sub, and we go back into the shipyard, and that's what we did this past January, so they can fix all the stuff and get us back out to the Navy here as hopefully in the coming up in the fall and the winter time of this year.
Yeah, eventually you guys are going to be stationed out of Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. It sounds like we're going to have to do a trip and come visit you guys there for the radio show.
I know. I think Bill is hanging on to the Montana Committee leadership until we get out to Pearl, so he can visit us out there first.
That was really nice of Bill Whitsett to say that he will cover all of our expenses to ensure that we can do the radio show from Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, with the USS Montana crew.
I'll tell him what he just signed up for.
That's right. Yeah, just you've been voluntold. That's right. Direct from the commander of the USS Montana. Well, again. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, we'll be making that trip out there hopefully next spring time frame, and making the trip over to the Pacific Fleet. We'll deploy to the Pacific, to the Western Pacific and places like that, and that's what Montana's built to do, is to be forward deployed. And so we're looking forward to the day where we can do that.
Well, you know, it sounds all nice and sounds like a vacation when you hear Hawaii, but if anybody's paying attention to the news, the Pacific Theater, Indo-PACOM right now, it's pretty tense, actually, given what, you know, the antics out of the Communist Chinese and the South China Sea and our friends in Taiwan. So yeah, and any normal day on a submarine isn't a vacation. You guys are gone a lot and out of communication, as I understand. It's a big job you're doing.
It certainly is, and you know, the U.S. Navy is committed to buying at least two submarines per year, Virginia class and another Columbia class submarine to replace our aging Ohio fleet. And so we need submarines now more than ever, and the Navy's committed to doing that and moving them to the right place to make sure that we can continue to face the threat.
All right, Commander John Quimby, great to catch up with you again for our listeners on 1450 KMMS Bozeman. You can have coffee with the commander and crew 9 o'clock this morning. And then what's the rest of the day look like for you? Are you in Montana just for the day, or you get to stick around for the weekend?
Yeah, we're in Montana just for the day. We'll fly out tomorrow. We're at the Museum of the Rockies, like you said, this morning. And then later today, I'm pretty excited. We're going to go get to see a little bit of Yellowstone. And so the first time I've been to Yellowstone, and it's really high on my bucket list.
Oh, that's great. Well, that should be a great trip for you. Hopefully they can throw you on a snowmobile. That's like a bucket list trip I want to do, is snowmobile in the Yellowstone area one of these days.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, no, it's exciting times.
That's right. Well, say hello to your whole crew. Thanks for you for your service. Thanks to your whole crew for their service. And thanks for making Montana proud as the commander of the USS Montana. Gratefully appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Pleasure to talk about the Montana anytime.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Quick break here on Montana Talks. Coming up right after this, the Montana legislature is back in session after their one-week transmittal break. So how did the first half of the legislative session go, and what are our state's farmers and ranchers hoping to accomplish in the second half? We'll talk about that right after this with the Montana Farm Bureau Federation.
Securing America.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was in Israel Thursday, meeting with America's closest Mideast ally. Much of the focus in discussions was spent on the threat posed by Iran.
Iran's destabilizing actions are not just a threat to Israel. They are a challenge to the region and to the world.
Austin reiterated the U.S. will never let Iran have a nuclear weapon, and there is widespread concern about Iran's alliance with Russia,
including using Iranian drones to terrorize and kill innocent civilians in Ukraine.
The secretary, along with Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, also spoke about the continuing challenge the conflict in Ukraine poses for the free world.
We must all come together to resist Putin's grim vision of a world where autocrats get to decide.
Candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Yeah. Yesterday in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show, we did our weekly legislative update with Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer. And, you know, what we talked with him about is what we've been talking with a number of lawmakers about, which is, OK, we got through the first half of the 90-day legislative session here in Montana. What was accomplished in the first half? What do we still need to get done in the second half? So we've been asking that question of the various lawmakers that have been calling into the show here on Montana Talks. But from a farmer rancher standpoint, how did the first half of the session go? What are we hoping to get done in the second half of the legislative session? The Montana Farm Bureau Federation has been boots on the ground at the Capitol every day of the legislative session as well. So here we are. We are jump-starting into the second half of the legislative session now that the transmittal break is over. So pleased to have Nicole Rolfe with us on the phone lines from Miles City. She is the Senior Director of Government Affairs for the Montana Farm Bureau. Nicole, great to have you back on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's very exciting to be at the halfway point of the legislative session, for sure.
Hopefully you got a couple of days off after covering the, the early mornings and the late evenings that often the legislative session can entail.
I did, yes. Yeah, it's hard for me to be in Helena for during these 90 working days, so I enjoyed my 3 days of transmittal break, and I'm actually in my home office today, but head back up to Helena this weekend.
Yeah, so how did the first half go from the Montana Farm Bureau standpoint?
You know, it went well. It's been I always like to say every session is interesting for its own reasons, and this is my eighth, so this one really seems to have a lot of hurry up and wait components about it. We really saw a rush of bills toward the end of the session, towards the end of the first half, which always tends to happen. But it got really busy, and the legislature put in some really long hours and staff and everyone involved. So it was good to get to that transmittal deadline. It's always nice for us in organizations to have some certainty about, how many of the general bills are going to continue through the process or have ended their process when we get to that transmittal deadline. And, all in all, things are looking really good for agriculture.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not just what you get accomplished, what you get across the finish line. It's some of those bad bills that you block in the process as well. I caught up with you briefly during the break, and you were saying, we've got some bills that are already headed to the governor's desk, some of the tax provisions and things like that. But then there's wildlife issues, there's water issues, and more. What's the good news so far in terms of especially maybe what's headed towards the governor's desk?
Well, first off, there were quite a few red tape relief bills towards the beginning of the session that came out of multiple departments, agriculture, livestock, and more that we supported. Those moved through the session pretty quickly, so many of those are already on the governor's desk or have already been signed. But some really exciting ones for us that they got across the finish line right before the transmittal are House Bill 212 and Senate Bill 121. 212 is the business equipment tax relief bill, increasing the exemption from $300,000 to $1 million worth of equipment. And, this is going to take about 5,000 small businesses off the tax rolls for Class 8 business equipment property. And many of those are farmers and ranchers. It's a capital-intense business with a lot of equipment needed to run our businesses, and so we really appreciate this bill that actually came from the governor, was carried by Representative Kastmeyer. It's going to make things a lot – it's going to really incentivize and help farmers and ranchers to reinvest in their businesses.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We're really excited about that one.
You know, if you want to keep the family farm in the family, sometimes you got to have a side hustle or two. And that's oftentimes what a lot of family farms will do to operate. They might have a gravel pit off the side over here. Or they might, have another type of construction business. And it's all part of keeping the farm in the family. But, if you're being taxed on equipment, whether you're using it or not, whether the business is as good this year as it was last year, and you're still being taxed heavily on it, that doesn't help.
That's absolutely true. And that is one thing we tried to share in testimony, is that you might think, oh, a farm just has a tractor. But no, all these operations are diversified. So you might have a tractor and your equipment for seeding and fertilizing, and you probably have a swather and a combine, and the list goes on and on and on. So you're exactly right. Then if you've got a loader and some logging equipment on the side, there's just a lot there. And you're right, you might use it just a couple weeks out of the year, but you continue to pay taxes on it. But this bill will really help relieve that.
I know now that we've gone to the transmittal break, typically any of the bills that didn't survive the first half can't come up again the second half. I mean, there's ways. It takes a kind of a little more extraordinary effort to do so. But what were some of the bad bills, in your opinion, that you were able to stop in the first half?
Well, there were two bills related to right to repair that we opposed, speaking of equipment. So it's a little interesting because our organization does support, of course, farmers and ranchers' ability to repair their equipment, except the fact that our members really wanted to see a different approach taken than these two pieces of legislation would have sent us down the path of. Our members support a private market negotiation and an agreement between farmers and companies. You may have heard that in January, American Farm Bureau signed an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, with John Deere during our convention, and very excitingly, just yesterday, we signed another one with Case IH and New Holland. So we are coming up with private market solutions to this issue and achieving all of the things that our members have been asking for without having state or federal legislation. Those two pieces of legislation also went beyond beyond what our members are looking for, particularly getting into kind of that murky water of getting into these companies' intellectual property. And we respect property rights of all kinds. So our private agreements have been a lot more effective way to deal with this issue and to solve this. And we're really pleased to have brought on Case just yesterday. So now we have agreements basically accounting for more than half of the farm equipment out in the country. And this doesn't just apply to Farm Bureau members or farmers. It applies to all equipment owners of any kinds of equipment that these two OEMs manufacture.
Yeah, so, people that have smaller, more hobby farms or ranches, or maybe, you know, you've got a big property and you've got a, you know, you don't have a lawnmower like I got for my house. You got something that looks more like a tractor for your lawnmower. So yeah, it's more than just farmers and ranchers that are using this equipment as well. And what I feel like I've seen is the radical left is punishing our farmers and ranchers. They're attacking our farmers and ranchers with these overreaching federal regulations like Waters of the U.S. in particular. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to get farmers and ranchers fighting each other, and they're trying to get ag organizations fighting each other over right to repair. And so what the folks on the left are doing is they're trying to all out attack these farm equipment dealers to try to get people fighting one another. And what I hear from folks on the street is, hey, look, we can figure out a way to make this all work. These companies want, you know, support the right to repair as well, but they don't support, like you say, intellectual property theft or modifying the equipment to where it jeopardizes the equipment.
Absolutely.
What you mentioned, wildlife issues as well. What are some of the wildlife bills that you had concerns about or that you support coming up in the second half?
Well, some really positive news. You know, we've been talking about the importance of delisting the grizzly bear for years now, and talking about how the population has recovered and how much havoc the species is inflicting on livestock and also human safety. So there's been two bills that we supported in the first half. They have been transmitted, so we'll continue to support them in the second half. Senate Bill 85 from Senator Lange and Senate Bill 295 from Senator Gillespie. Both of these bills really help advance our mission of getting the grizzly bear delisted. The first one basically codifies many of the things that our Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is already doing to successfully manage the bear. And then 295 actually is largely modeled after the legislation that we put in place when wolves were delisted. It talks about how we will manage them after delisting, allowing for some take when there is livestock predation or human safety, but also managing them to numbers that will keep them from being listed again. So those are both very positive, and of course, we've had some positive news even out of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in that they are going to look at our petition for delisting. So we hope that all of these movements will just keep us going in the right direction to get the bear off the list in the state.
Yeah, we've been talking state legislative news. I mentioned the feds and Waters of the U.S. Yesterday, we spoke with Congressman Ryan Zinke, and the Republican House did pass a measure against the Waters of the U.S., so hopefully we can convince one certain senator from Montana to stand up in support of farmers and ranchers on that topic as well.
Yes, we were very, very pleased and excited to see the House pass the resolution on the CRA to block implementation of the WOTUS rule. We've been pushing back on bad versions of this this rule since 2015, and it just feels like a constant back and forth, and it's very stressful on farmers and ranchers. You know, we all want clean water, but we also want clear rules, and this 2022 rule does not provide us clear rules.
Well said. That's a great line. Nicole Rolfe with the Montana Farm Bureau. I got a heartbreak I got to hit here, but it's been great getting this update from you. During the next few days and weeks of the legislative session, if you guys got a message you need to get out, especially if it's urgent action before the legislature, definitely let us know, and we'll spread that word with our listeners here on Montana Talks as well. Well, I think you would be shocked at the lack of support that is provided to the families of fallen law enforcement officers. Thankfully, State Senator Barry Usher out of Billings is stepping up to do something about it. Yeah, it was crazy. Senator Usher was telling us about how a family lost their husband, lost a father, a sheriff's deputy, and then they got a phone call. Now you're losing your health insurance. They're trying to fix it. Read more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Full audio and more.
What happens if you don't file your taxes? I'm Ginny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip, coming up after this.
Get the latest business news on your dime. It's the Fox Business Hourly Report.
The Dow rising 104 points.
Updated from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern.
And we'll get a better idea of how the economy was holding up.
Just ask Alexa or go to foxnewspodcasts.com.
You're only required to file a tax return if you're making money. CPA Stephen Zellin, president of Zellin & Associates, says the IRS receives tax information from your employer.
If you don't have any income or very little income, then chances are nothing's going to happen.
But if you are earning money and don't file, the IRS will take over the process.
It's called a substitute for return. You know, that may not be the most beneficial thing for you.
You could face a penalty of up to 25% of your unpaid taxes. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I told you we got a great lineup here on this Friday morning Montana Talks here. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, I told you about this headline yesterday. Montana State University student settles free speech lawsuit against campus. This is now apparently the second legal problem that Montana State University's Office of Institutional Equity has had now, which raises the question, why do they even still have this Office of Institutional Equity? Maybe it's time that they disband this Office of Institutional Equity and, I don't know, maybe save some money and give that money back to the students. Basically, they were trying to force this young lady to use the proper gender pronouns. Not only that, which is a violation of the First Amendment, but not only that, but she was being harassed by an LGBTQ student, and they put a no contact order in place. Now, they didn't put the no contact order in place against the harasser. They put the no contact order in place against the victim. What? I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but the university has now been forced to settle that lawsuit. We're going to talk with that young lady. Daria Danley is going to join us, along with her attorney, Matthew Monfortin. They'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour for us. And then after that, I'm going to kind of call it Northeast Montana Day on Montana Talks, because we're going to have some great Northeast Montana stories to talk about and events coming up to talk about as well. So a really great story for those of you who haven't heard it yet, also out of Luster, Montana. But hey, why don't we start our Northeast Montana coverage a little early here, because we got a great guest now in studio with us, John Mackart, the general manager for KCGM Radio out of Scobie, Montana. John, great to see you.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me in.
Well, it's been fun. You know, we've been BSing a little bit during the breaks here, and you've been kind of hanging out for the morning. And isn't it fun? I mean, we got the USS Montana crew, and then we got the Montana Farm Bureau, and heck, We'll probably take some phone calls a little later, too.
Yeah, I love your Friday show, and I love being up here in the studio. I love the view. Being a pilot, I like to watch the birds fly by and the helicopters occasionally. You got a great view up here.
Yeah, you're a crop duster pilot in northeast Montana, too. On a recent trip to Scobie, I got to sit behind the steering panel of your crop duster plane. And cool. That's a really cool culture, the aviation community in Montana.
Yeah, it's a niche culture, and there's a lot of us in Montana, obviously being an ag state from Texas on up, a lot of aerial applicators, and that was a great photo you got in the plane, too. You had it on your profile for a while.
I know. I might have to re-rack that one, put that one back at the top. In fact, speaking of the aviation community, I got a note from Brian Prevost out of Sydney, Montana. Just this morning, he was talking about the F-35 demo that he saw last year at the air show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and because he's really excited. He planned the air show in Sydney a few years ago when they had the Canadian Snowbirds there. And so he's really excited about the Yellowstone air show coming up in Billings this summer featuring the Blue Angels.
That's going to be fantastic.
And they're going to have an F-35. So
yeah, I've seen the F-35 at Tucson, and it's amazing. It's an amazing aircraft.
Yeah, it sounds like it's basically one gigantic computer.
Yeah, and it's one big engine, too. I think it's the largest thrust engine of any aircraft. It puts up 40-some thousand pounds of thrust, I think. It's an amazing plane to watch fly. So that'll be good. That's going to be a good weekend here in Billings.
Yeah. So I know some of these topics I want to save for the later on in the 9 o'clock hour when our friends from Scobie and our friends from Plentywood and Wolf Point and elsewhere are tuning in for our statewide show. But state basketball tournament's underway. That's why you're in Billings. A Class C basketball tournament at the Metra.
Yeah.
Got state basketball underway in Billings now as well. In Bozeman now as well. Yep.
Right. Yeah. It's that time of year. It's the March thing. You know. It's state. Basketball tournaments for high school, and now we get into college after that. So it's an exciting time if you're a big basketball fan.
You've had all your kids play basketball in Scobie, and this was the one year where Scobie wasn't in the state basketball tournament.
Second year now. 2020 and 2021 was those two big state years where we won back-to-back state titles and set the win record and all that kind of stuff. And then the last couple of years, rebuilding and gearing up, I think keep your eye open for the next 3 or 4 years. There's another good crew being groomed up right now. So
it's funny, though. If I didn't know I was watching basketball from Scobie, Montana, when your kids have been playing over the years, I would think I was watching some kids from Chicago because your kids are dunking. And Northeast Montana really has an interesting basketball culture.
It's kind of that Hoosier culture, you know, these northern border towns going back over the decades. There's not a lot to do in the winter, and basketball is one of the big things that happens. So in these small towns, pretty much everybody rallies around the basketball team. So it's a good culture. It's a really good culture.
You mentioned the Hoosiers. That's exactly what I was thinking of, because when I've toured the school in Scobie, and you guys brought me through the old basketball court, the old gym, and that old basketball court and gym, it's really cool to see if you get to Scobie, because you feel like it's straight out of the Hoosiers movie.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a 1930s setting. You know, it's a small gym, and it had the old balconies around the top, but it's a lot of great history there, but we love our new gym. It's big, and it's beautiful, and it's a great floor to play on.
I want to share a story. It involves basketball, and it involves food at a Luster, Montana. Some people might be like, Luster, Montana? Where is Luster, Montana? I've never heard of Luster, Montana. Well, you just wait. We'll talk more about Luster, Montana coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Now, I know our friends on KJJR in Kalispell know a thing or two about Luster, Montana, because, you know, our friend Matt Desch with B Broadcasting and Benny B and family over the years. Hey, they all have roots in northeastern Montana themselves as well, going back to Wolf Point. So they know where Luster, Montana is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Luster, Montana, is this the first year that Luster Christian, is it first time ever or first time in a long time they made it to the state basketball?
First time ever. And I think the school is around 60-some years old. Don't quote me on that. But, yeah, this is their first trip to state. They have knocked on the door of divisional a number of times, but they finally had their breakthrough year. So it's really exciting to see Luster at state this year.
Yeah, it must be about 60. You're right, because the 58th annual German Festival of tasting. The Schmeckfest is coming up March 24th. So that's their big fundraiser. So, yeah, you're right. Probably right around 60 years.
Yeah.
They've been running strong.
Yeah.
Speaking of events coming up, so you've got an event coming up in Billings in, what, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks from today it starts. And so it's called Personal Mastery, and it's put on by a company called Clemmer & Associates. And so just in a nutshell, with what time we have, Brian Clemmer was a graduate of West Point. He was an Army officer, but he is also an exceptional communicator and exceptional understanding of human psychology, and he put together a class called Personal Mastery, and this is all about personal development. So I got started in this back in the 80s when I was in college, and I was a big Zig Ziglar fan. I had volumes of his tapes and all that sort of stuff, and I've been in front of, in person, Tony Robbins and John Maxwell, Les Brown, and the financial guy Robert Kiyosaki. And they all put on these motivational personal growth seminars, right? But the best one I've been to is Clemmer & Associates, Personal Mastery. And we're very fortunate to have it right here in Billings. Most of these things, you have to go to Dallas or Phoenix or, you know, L.A., Seattle. You have to go to a big center to get to these. A group of us in Billings here, four Billings people and myself, we put down a deposit, and we brought Personal Mastery to Billings. And it's March 24th. Through the 26th, it's a weekend. It's intense, but everybody could use this. You know, we work our muscles.
So it's kind of all around. It's health, it's fitness, it's lifestyle, everything? Or what is it? Or,
it can apply to those things.
Because I think of you as Mr. Fitness out of Northeast Montana. I mean, you've always been like Mr. Fit, Mr. In Shape, and you're really into nutrition and dieting and everything like that. So, but this is not lifestyle and fitness. It's a little more than that.
It can apply to those things. This is really about personal development. So it's getting in. It's exercising our mind, right? So and this can apply to sales and people in management, leadership, relationships, and everything, because you're going to take a deep dive into understanding yourself first and foremost, and then also understanding other people and how other people work. It's really about communications and understanding ourselves. So, you know, most of the decisions that we make in life, we think we make them up here in the conscious, but our decisions come from the subconscious. You know, between 0 and 3, your personality develops. From 3 to 8, your belief systems develop. And those things affect every decision that you make the rest of your life, for better or for worse. In many cases, it's for the worse. So we're going to take a deep dive into that. You know, people who go to this talk about having afterwards increased income, better relationships, more time freedom, better conflict resolution. This, again, is communications. So, you know, how can this affect both, you know, a sales job and a relationship and athletic goals and financial goals? It's because you're understanding yourself and how to deal with other people.
That's great. Yeah, I think the last event like that I went to, speaking of the USS Montana submarine crew that we talked with earlier in the hour, it was the author of Turn That Ship Around.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's amazing what you can pick up from some of these incredible leaders. All right, John Mackart, stand by. We'll talk more about that and give listeners the details on where they can sign up and more here right after this final break of the hour.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is all about the New Green Deal, socialism, you know, guaranteed pre-K, guaranteed government wage, guaranteed government job, guaranteed government free college. And let me tell you how that ends, because it's called socialism, communism, redistributionism, whatever you want to call it, statism. Here's how it ends. It ends the same way every time. All of the promises are unfulfilled because they can't afford it. We end up being poor, not richer, and we lose our freedom in the process. You give up your freedom in the name of false security of your government. That's where this is headed. That's where they want this to be headed. That's the plan that they put in place, that they want to take the country. That's scary.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
Hey, did you know the Pure Talk saves the average family close to $1,000 a year when they switch from the big carriers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile? Well, that's right. You can save a fortune, and you get the exact same service as these big carriers. You get their ultra-fast 5G. You can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, and it's only $30 a month. And with Pure Talk, they are so sure you are going to love their service, they back it up with their 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee. So instead of paying a fortune to the big carriers, cut your bill in half with Pure Talk, my cell phone company. Then start enjoying great perks like a U.S. customer service team. They're going to make your switch easy, and you'll be supporting a company that's veteran-owned and shares your values and has you covered with their money-back guarantee. It's simple to make the switch. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword save now, from our friends at Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless.
Montana State University in Bozeman forced to settle a case after violating the constitutional rights of a young lady who attends MSU. They were trying to force her into using these gender pronouns. Seriously? Why is Montana State University pushing this nonsense? Anyway, we're going to...
Thompson Pools.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios. Trusted by the Northwest. Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Big 9 o'clock hour coming up for you. Not only are we going to talk with the MSU student herself and her attorney now that the Montana State University was forced to settle this free speech lawsuit. That's how we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. But later on in the 9 o'clock hour, Bonnie Simon with KATQ Radio out of Plentywood. She's going to join us later on. They got their big farm expo coming up. And of course, Plentywood, the Plentywood girls are in the Class C state basketball tournament underway right now as well. So a couple of great Northeast Montana folks joining us here on Friday's Montana Talks. John Mackart, the general manager of KCGM Radio. And yeah, you were telling us about this personal mastery class, especially for our Billings listeners. You know, some folks might travel from across the state to attend something like this as well. But give us the website, the phone number. How can people sign up for this personal mastery class?
We actually have some people flying in from Colorado and I believe South Dakota to attend it. But yeah, the number, we're down to short time, so if you're going to be interested in this, we'll have you call directly in 1-800-577-5447. And most of the time Tracy will answer the phone, but if not, one of her team members will. Again, that's 1-800-577-5447, or you can go to klemmer.com. that's with a K, klemmer.com /PM, Papa Mike.
Yeah. That's great. And, you know, you and I were kind of talking during the break here. Obviously, if you're a young professional, you got your whole career ahead of you, you got your whole, you know, family raising life ahead of you. Makes perfect sense for you. But even somebody in your 70s, a lot of people think, well, I'm 70, I'm retired, that's it for me. No, some people, now you finally have the time to do what you're really passionate about, what you're really knowledgeable about.
Yeah.
Some of the people that they give back to their community better than ever before in their 70s.
Yeah, a lot of our older people find a loss of purpose as they get older, 70s and even 80s. And we've had people attend these classes of that age group who get through that in a testimonial afterward with tears in their eyes. It's, I wish I had learned this when I was young. I wished I had learned this 50 years ago. But they're not 50 years ago. What they've found is a rediscovery of who they are, what they can do. And a lot of these people go out and do big things, 70s and 80s, because they've rediscovered their purpose and they've got the confidence and the tools to go out and do that with.
Yeah, and now you have the time and the wealth sometimes and the knowledge to be able to actually to do what you've always wanted to do or what you never thought you could do before.
Right.
Yeah, and for those of you who are hearing John Mackart, he gave me permission. He's 60 years old. Which, of course, is 60 is the new 50 anyway. But if you saw him walking down the street, you would swear this guy's still in his 40s or maybe 50. But that's because is, you know, is Mr. Fitness of Northeast Montana. That's how I describe him. Well, John, if you can, stick around in the 9 o'clock hour, because I want to talk Luster, Montana. I want to talk, you know, Class C basketball and much more. That's what he's in town for. So John Mackard will stick around here into the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. You know, speaking of fitness and nutrition, I actually just popped in yesterday, went down and saw our friend Kyle Austin at Farm 406 because I needed to restock my supplies. I like a pre-workout before I go to the gym because especially after getting up at 0:30 to be on the radio, if I'm going to go work out in the afternoon, I need a little extra boost to get a better workout. So I buy Montana Made pre-workout. Yeah, it's made at All American Pharmaceuticals, Dr. Jeff Galini, which is the old Kmart in the Billings Heights. Their stuff is in GNC stores and all these places all over the world, but I buy Montana-made products like that right here in Montana. Kyle Austin has their products, the EFX Sports products, at Farm 406. So for our listeners in the Billings area, you can drop by 38th and Grand, check them out, get some of those products for yourself. Or if you're somebody who, you know, wants to get your prescriptions, you can go to Farm 406 as well. They'll drive them to you in the Billings area, or they can mail them to you elsewhere. Check them out, farm406.com, farm406.com.